Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Hmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On September 26th, the United Nations will hold a high-level meeting on tuberculosis, which aims to result in commitments to end the global tuberculosis epidemic by 2030. Tuberculosis, also known as TB, is one of the top 10 causes of death worldwide. That's according to the World Health Organization. Get this, the WHO says in 2017, 10 million people fell ill with TB and 1.6 million died from the disease. TB is a leading killer of HIV-positive people. In 2016, 40% of HIV deaths were due to TB. But there is encouraging news. WHO says globally, TB incidence is falling at about 2% per year, and an estimated 50 million lives were saved through TB diagnosis and treatment between 2000 and 2017. We will discuss TB on the program today. And to do that, we have our special guest. He is joining us via phone from South Africa. Gavin Churchyard is the CEO of the Orom Institute, an African public benefit organization with over 20 years' experience providing treatment and research efforts to eradicate TB and HIV. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. We will have our discussion with Gavin in a moment, but first, while flu outbreaks, Ebola and HIV typically generate the biggest headlines, scientists say tuberculosis remains the number one infectious disease killer worldwide and should receive more attention. The upcoming UN General Assembly hopes to do just that. VOA's Jill Craig has this report.
Life has not been easy for 54-year-old Stella Malhaus. The South African woman takes 9 pills a day, down from the 27 she used to take each day. But she's HIV positive, unemployed, and suffers from MDR-TB, multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. She says the stigma of disease makes her life all the more difficult.
I got my family. They can share a plate with me or a mug with me. I have to have my own. And then people, they won't want to come close to you because they are afraid that if you are going to talk near, that's like the wind are going to blow it in his way, that people are also going to get it.
Tuberculosis may not garner the kind of attention of other diseases, such as HIV, malaria, or the highly publicized Ebola. But Hank Tomlinson of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says TB should not be ignored.
It's the number one infectious disease killer. It kills more people now annually than HIV. There are about 1.7 million deaths each year from tuberculosis, and it's a threat everywhere because of the way it's spread and the ease with which it is spread.
TB is such a threat. The UN General Assembly is holding its first ever high-level meeting on the infectious disease to urge countries to pull resources together and address the epidemic. According to the CDC, about 2 billion people are infected with tuberculosis worldwide. The CDC's Rebecca Martin says preventative treatment is crucial, especially for those with the latent form of the disease.
Getting them on treatment, which is less expensive, a shorter course, and the adherence is much higher, we can stop going on to active TB, which leads to spread of more TB.
But unless patients complete their treatment, drug resistance can develop, making treatment more difficult.
These are variants of tuberculosis that are severe. They don't work with the common four-drug treatment. They're resistant to one or more of those drugs, and they require a different, more challenging course of treatment for a patient.
Tuberculosis, an airborne bacterial disease, disproportionately affects the poor, those who live and work in close quarters, and those with compromised immune systems, including patients with HIV. In South Africa, MDR-TB rates are among the highest in the world.
We're not seeing the increase in cases due to people acquiring drug resistance, but that multidrug-resistant TB is being transmitted from person to person.
Scientists and stakeholders hope the high-level UN meeting will increase the global fight against TB, potentially saving millions of lives. Jill Craig, VOA News, Washington.
Again, Gavin Churchyard, thank you so much for joining us today. So we heard the report earlier. Give us a sense of where you think the world stands in terms of addressing tuberculosis.
So tuberculosis is a disease of antiquity. We've known about it for more than 3,000 years. And we have more TB in the world today than we have ever had before because of the growing world's population and what predisposes to TB. But we also are at a point in time that's unique in history where we have the opportunity with the new tools that we've developed that we can eliminate TB as a public health threat.
Now, let's go to the basics, if you don't mind. I mean, this disease has been around for a long time. Some people don't even believe that it's still around. Can you help us to understand the very basics in terms of tuberculosis? What is it? We know it is an infectious disease, but could you tell us more, please?
Tuberculosis is caused by a bug called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. This is a bug that's been around a long time. It's learned how to protect itself from our own immune responses that help fight and try to kill it. It is spread when people get the infection and then progress to developing an active TB disease. People who have the disease cough up the bacteria in sputum, and that is then coughed up into the air in what we call aerosols, the droplets, and the bacteria are suspended in the air. And then if someone else is in close proximity to that person, they can breathe in that air with these bugs in these micro droplets and breathe them into their lung, then become infected and may progress in turn to develop TB disease. And that's how the cycle is perpetuated.
Wow. And then today with the HIV AIDS infection and epidemic, more people develop TB because their immune system is weakened.
That's correct. So HIV is a strong risk factor for developing tuberculosis because of its impact on the immune system. But we have observed with the advent of antiretroviral therapy that substantially reduces the risk of developing TB. However, because people are on antiretroviral therapy, are living longer, the type of TB they get is similar to what people with that are HIV uninfected get, and they may actually be more infectious because of the antiretroviral therapy. And so we are at a unique stage in the epidemiology of TB where deaths are declining, but because of the antiretroviral therapy, more people are living with that are HIV infected, are living longer, and may be transmitting to others.
So then, when we look at the co-infection with tuberculosis and HIV/AIDS, where do we start in addressing TB when dealing with an HIV patient? Do you treat HIV first? Do you treat TB first? Or is it a co-treatment? How does this work?
So we have to treat both the HIV and TB. But for people that are very sick, we certainly start with the TB treatment and then as soon as possible introduce the antiretroviral therapy. For those that are less sick, we can make sure that they get good course, they start and are stable on the TB treatment before introducing antiretroviral therapy. But we do need to be able to treat both, and we need to choose drugs that aren't going to interact with one another so that the treatment can be effective.
So can you give us an idea of a sample treatment? What type of drug for TB are available? I know that some people have talked about the fact that there needs to be more in terms of prevention when it comes to vaccine and everything. But what about treatment? What is available?
So the drugs that we have to treat TB that is drug susceptible are old drugs. The new TB drugs that we've just recently seen developed are really for the multi-drug resistant TB. Mm-hmm. So we're using drugs that were developed in the 1950s, 1960s, and they are highly effective. So we use four antibiotics that we put together. We treat people initially for 2 months, and then we continue after the first 2 months with the most potent drug that we currently have available called rifampicin, with another antibody called azanazid for another 4 months. So the current course of treatment for someone who has TB that is susceptible to those antibiotics is currently for 6 months. That's a long period of time for anybody to take their treatment properly and not to forget it. So we've been looking to find drugs that are more powerful, that will enable us to develop shorter regimens. And in the first phase, we're trying to find regimens that will only require taking that treatment for 4 months. But we hope with further research and development to be able to reduce that down to 3 and then 2 months. And possibly the ultimate goal would be to get down to a 2-week course of treatment. That's for drug-susceptible TB. Where the bug is resistant to the two primary drugs we use, rifampicin and azanazid, then the up until fairly recently, the standard treatment was to treat for up to 24 months with drugs that are quite toxic and have lots of side effects. Recent recommendations have been enabled us to reduce that down to 9 months. But with new drugs and regimens, we believe we can get down to a 6-month course for multidrug-resistant TB. But the number of drugs you need to treat multiple drug-resistant TB is many more. They're much more expensive and they're very toxic.
So what has been the challenge in developing new drugs for TB?
Part of it is the investment has been lacking. The incentives for big pharmaceutical companies to develop these drugs has been lacking. And the attention has been diverted elsewhere. Mm. With the emergence of the TB epidemic, drug companies invested in developing those drugs. So we now have two new TB drugs, bedaquiline and dalaminate, and that's really been very helpful in helping treat the multidrug-resistant TB. There's further efforts now through very novel schemes to try and entice drug companies to further develop it, and then to do that in combination with what academics are doing, and then to evaluate these drugs. So entities like Global TB Alliance helps develop these new TB drugs and evaluates them, and they do that within a not-for-profit framework rather than a big pharma perspective. So the paradigm has been changed, and we hope through this that we'll be able to develop more TB drugs that are going to be more effective, less side effects, that will enable us to further reduce the treatment duration.
So you mentioned multi-drug resistance. Can you enlighten us about this phenomenon? We hear about drug-resistance TB, multi-drug-resistance TB, extreme drug-resistance TB. What is happening? People are not responding to treatment anymore, or did they stop in the middle of the course of the treatment? What is happening on this front?
So multi-drug-resistant TB, we used to think, arose purely from people being poorly adherent to their treatment. So by taking their treatment infrequently and missing doses. And we know that that does generate resistance. But new evidence suggests that the vast majority of multidrug-resistant TB that we see is not because of that. It's primarily because it's been transmitted from one person to the other. And that includes in high-burden settings like India and China and South Africa and in developed countries. So this recent transmission is the primary driver for why we see all this MDR-TB. Multidrug-resistant TB means that the bug is resistant to the two primary antibiotics, the azanazid and rifampicin. Pre-XDR means it's resistant to one of two other drugs. And extensively drug-resistant means that it's resistant to those two primary drugs and the two other secondary drugs, making it a very difficult disease to treat. But there's very promising news that is coming out with the development of these new drugs and using some, repurposing some existing drugs that is giving results very similar to what we see for the treatment of drug-susceptible TB. So we have great hope that through this ongoing innovation that we will be able to effectively treat multidrug-resistant TB, much like we treat drug-susceptible TB, and ultimately we may be able to come up with a treatment that we can use to treat all forms of TB, whether it's currently resistant to the drugs we are currently using or whether it's susceptible to them. We could just use a single regimen regardless of having to test for pre-existing resistance. The new drugs should be able to treat it, and that we call a pan-TB regimen.
That would be great. That's definitely good news. And do you anticipate this to happen? Is this in the works?
Yes, so there are groups looking at developing it. We now have drugs that have sufficient potency, which we can use in combination. So these are entirely new drugs that we can put together that we will be able to use to treat all forms of TB.
Now, Dr. Churchyard, when you look at the whole issue of TB, HIV co-infection, and also drug resistance, in your experience, what would you consider the most challenging in the fight against TB? Will it be the TB-HIV co-infection or drug resistance?
Both are very important. So from a global perspective, we know that about 10-11% of TB patients globally are infected with HIV. In countries like South Africa, that is as high as 60-70% of patients. And in some areas of the world, as high as 80% are infected with HIV. So clearly, where HIV is common, it's a very important driver. But so is multidrug-resistant TB, and the countries where there is very high burden of multidrug-resistant TB in India, China, and the former Soviet Union, there, as many as half of all TB cases are resistant to the primary drugs. And so it's not a case of prioritizing one or the other. Mm-hmm. We need to put in place strategies to treat both the TB and HIV and the multidrug-resistant TB epidemics.
Okay. Dr. Churchyard, we will continue this discussion. We want to talk about what is happening at the UN and get your thoughts on that. We have to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Gavin Churchyard.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Welcome back to Health Chat. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing tuberculosis with our guest, Dr. Gavin Churchyard, CEO of the Orum Institute, based in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, Dr. Churchyard, as I announced earlier in the opening of the program, on September 26th, the United Nations will hold a high-level meeting to discuss the global tuberculosis epidemic. What are your thoughts on this meeting? It will be the first one, I believe.
It's the first time in history that there is a high-level meeting dedicated to tuberculosis. So this is a landmark event for us, and it will help call the world's attention to the plight of TB and the huge burden and the fact that this is the leading cause of death from an infectious agent globally, and in very high-burden countries like South Africa, It is the leading cause of all forms of death. And we'll be calling on the heads of states of all countries around the world to put in place effective interventions that will help us meet the WHO end TB targets to help rid the world of this epidemic that really takes, as you mentioned earlier, millions of people's lives. In fact, more people have died of TB in the history of the world than from any other infectious agent. So it's caused an enormous burden of disease and of death. And at this UN high-level meeting, people and countries will be committing themselves to implement effective strategies and to scale them up to achieve impact and to end the epidemic.
So what type of outcomes do you anticipate from this meeting? Because we see a lot of meetings on different topics and, you know, something as TB that is so important, and with a big gathering such as this one that is upcoming, what type of outcomes do you anticipate to come from this?
So there's two major outcomes that we are anticipating. One is this political will. So it's the heads of states making these public declarations committing to implement effective strategies. The other is we need additional money to help fund these activities, because if you don't have the additional money, it will be difficult to implement these strategies. And that money will come from not only multilateral donors, but very importantly, also from countries. So countries will be asked to allocate domestic funding to help address these burdens, because investing now will help save lives and save money. By not doing that means that more deaths and it will be more expensive. From a technical perspective, the real priorities are about finding the missing TB cases, the missing millions that are responsible for the ongoing transmission of TB from one person to another. So we need to find these people, diagnose them, treat them, cure them, and interrupt that transmission. So that's the one major focal area. The other is, as we were speaking earlier, on the multi-drug-resistant TB and putting in place also programs to find, treat, and prevent this. The third component that is really quite important and has been largely neglected, and that is to put in place strategies to prevent TB. Mm. Just putting in strategies to find and to treat TB will only take us so far. If we are serious about ending and eliminating TB as a global health threat, we also have to put in place the strategies to prevent TB.
And you speak about prevention, and vaccine is one of the ways to prevent TB. However, the vaccine that is now available is an old vaccine, the BCG vaccine, if I'm correct. What is being done on that front?
The vaccine is the BCG vaccine, developed more than 100 years ago. And it is effective in preventing TB disease amongst young children, and particularly severe forms of TB, such as TB meningitis, mm-hmm. which has a very high death rate. So there's been a strong focus on developing new TB vaccines, and we've been through a long period of trying to find new vaccines unsuccessfully. We heard just recently at a meeting, global TB vaccine meeting, around one of these new vaccines which didn't quite make the grades. The old TB vaccine, the BCG, did help prevent people from becoming infected with TB. And we're waiting to hear the news of another new TB vaccine that is being given to help treat for people who have been treated for TB to prevent them from getting the TB again. So that's eagerly awaited. But there's a lot of money that has been allocated to do the research and development to find an effective TB vaccine mm-hmm. that we can give to people to prevent them from progressing to TB disease. But the amount allocated is inadequate, we certainly need additional funding to support that development pipeline.
And the TB vaccine is used on children. You say it's effective with children, but when we think about children and tuberculosis, it seems like children are falling through the cracks. What is the case here in addressing tuberculosis among children? In terms of treatment, are there even a proper treatment for the children? Are there options out there? What is happening with children on TB?
Yes, thank you for raising the plight of children. So children are difficult to diagnose the TB in. So it's not like adults where it's relatively easy to make the diagnosis. For children, it's quite difficult. Children don't, the form of TB they develop means that they're not really transmitting it to others. And so because of that, they have really not had much attention paid to them.
Mm.
And so there is now this focus on really dealing with the children and making sure that we end TB in children as well. As part of the drugs, there's been a tremendous paucity of child-friendly treatment. But again, through the efforts of groups such as UNAID, which is a UN organization that funds taking new products,
mm-hmm.
and scaling them up. And what they have done fairly recently is developed a pediatric fixed-dose combination tablet where they take these TB treatment or the drugs, they formulate it into a single tablet, which is dispersible. So you take these tablets, you pop it in a glass of water, they dissolve completely, and they have various flavors, and the child will just think they're drinking fruit juice. And so that really makes it much easier to treat patients. And the correct dose of the drugs
mm-hmm.
is then ensured through these very new fixed-dose combination treatment for children. And that's now currently being scaled out across the world.
Dr. Gavin Churchyard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Right. Thank you very much for having me.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth.
Giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront, Wednesdays at 1730 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 1930 UTC,
right here on VOA Africa.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Dr. Gavin Churchyard, who is the CEO of the Orem Institute in South Africa. For more on today's topic, check us out online at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. Log on to our website also at voanews.com/health. For those of you listening and joining us, thank you for being with us. And thanks to all our affiliate stations for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa. Thank you. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The United Nations announced